Act Like a Girl fans, if you are living in or visiting Los Angeles, California, April 30th, we would love for you to come to Nerdist Showroom at 7 p.m. That's April 30th at 7 p.m. The Nerdist Showroom is in the back of Meltdown Comics. The address is 7522 West Sunset Boulevard, 90046. We will be featuring interviews with Britt Ashley, stand-up from Fizza Dusani, A.B. Fairley, and Helen Hong. And Cheap Smokes will be doing sketch comedy. And there will be musical guest Kira Morrison. It should be a fun night full of comedy and feminism, and we want you to be there. Welcome back to the Act Like a Girl podcast, everyone. You have Susie Dunn.
And Tracy Walker.
And we are here with
Angela Gonler.
Welcome, Angela.
Thanks.
You have like perfect teeth.
Oh, like, well, they were very expensive. Thank you.
Do you have veneers?
Well, yeah, because these two are fake.
They look like the teeth I go to a doctor's
office. Did you get in an accident?
No, I have the shittiest teeth. My brother and my father have veneers,
really?
Too. We have the worst teeth in my family.
Those look natural.
That's stressful.
It's stressful. My gums are really awful.
I've had multiple root canal because I got them knocked out.
An accident?
Yeah, on my birthday, I slammed into the boards ice skating.
Fuck.
Whoopsies. When I was like 13.
Jesus.
Yeah, it really sucked.
My brother, and he was playing soccer, and a kid ran into his, my brother's really tall, so a kid, like, forehead ran into my brother's teeth and knocked them, like, up and in.
No,
and
I hate it.
So
are you really
bad.
Paranoid about them now?
No.
Oh. I have a lot of mouth anxiety.
No, your teeth look like, you know how you go to the doctor's office and that fake teeth thing?
Well, it's because they're fake. They're
good. it's like, I wish my teeth was like, when you go in, it's like, that's my goal.
Go slam your head against a board. Yeah.
And then you can have this too.
Thousands and thousands
of dollars.
That's what
I was going to say. Yeah, that would Obama
care.
It's so expensive.
That would Obamacare. That's what I was like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's why I want to make a lot of money so I can get teeth like you, like you have, for real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and now mine, I have to get them like redone.
You do
eventually.
Yep. Yeah, because, I will too.
Yeah,
why?
Because they're
they expire.
Well, they're like they're also he did it like
why?
They were done wrong. Like they were rubbing on my gum, so I had to get them shaved down.
Yeah,
and that was a big part of my gum issue that was happening.
So big, God, yours are like small.
Well, I had to get them shaved down from the top. I mean, like they were rubbing on my gums, and they were creating like a bunch of.
Yours are small. They look really natural. Like
oh really?
Like,
oh my God!
Hollywood
I think
people.
My teeth are so big.
They're like perfect. Hers like Hollywood people.
I think mine are so big. My ex used to make fun of me for having really big teeth.
Really?
So maybe that's where that comes from.
Did you have to do the fakes
so big teeth.
In the interim when they were like molding your
veneers? No, because I didn't need them, right? Like it was aesthetic. So like, yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to get them done and that's it. I don't want to go back. I don't want them to expire. You know, I guess you have to.
I mean, when you're going to put anything fake in your body, it's going to, there's
gotta,
a time.
Yeah, you some booty and all of that.
Yeah, there's time limit.
I'll keep that shit.
Okay, so Angela, what do you do?
I am a writer and an actor and a podcaster and I guess a producer. I'm trying to like lean into my power now that I'm 30.
Yeah, you just turned 30.
I just turned 30.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm a dog mom and a tortoise mom and
a
bird mom.
I didn't know about the tortoise and the
bird.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does it come out of the cage?
Oh, yeah.
We had one and it used to come out of the cage and fight at my sister's
home.
I was scared of the
That's so cute. What kind of bird is it?
A green cheek conure.
What is that?
Sounds cute.
It's like a little sort of like baby parrot.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
What's its name?
He's really cute. Cheryl.
Cheryl.
Named after my mom. She's
Adorable.
Really mad about it.
No, that's great. I have my mentor and her husband named their cat after their friend who hates cats.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom gets really nervous around Cheryl. And she's especially, like, we don't know if it's a boy or a girl, but we think it's a boy.
Right.
So especially that.
I don't know.
She's
that
like,
aspect is.
Well, you could have just called him Charles. That's the male name for Cheryl.
Is it?
I guess. I'm like, no, he's a Cheryl.
He's a Cheryl.
He's a Cheryl.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Okay, wait. So where did you grow up?
Minnesota.
Oh, right. I knew this.
Midwest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have that accent.
Oh, yeah.
Minnesota.
That's the acting school.
Yeah, oh. Same. Yeah. Gets beat out of you. Wow.
Beat out of you. My vocal coach was from Chicago, and so she was really intense with all of the Midwesterners.
Yeah.
Any sort of A. nasal. Yeah, anything
any nasal.
Wow. Smacked out.
Yeah.
Smacked right out.
I remember when I came out here, I was like, you talk country, so say that again. What? Oh, yeah, I hear it. It was all in my mouth. I mean, one guy was like in my mouth looking at me like, I'm like, because everybody takes acting and act the yeah. voice, mm-hmm. and they don't hear that authentic, rough, like country. They're like, what the hell?
Yeah. I remember I went into
to
my.
Hear an actual dialect
especially
on
when right. I first came out here. This is kind of dressed up. This is dressed up. When I first came out here, man, I was talking like the Atlanta rappers.
I went into my voice class one day, and I was like, Maggie, where'd you get that bagel? And yeah. she was like, no.
Yeah.
No. So many things wrong with this sentence.
Yeah. It's just because like, we're smiling back. So hard.
Smiling like us. All the time.
Yeah, and it's cold, so just yeah. don't look at me.
And then in Michigan, like, if you're a Youper, it's a whole oh, other yeah, thing. Say, it's a lot of, it? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen Drop Dead Gorgeous?
Oh, wonderful. Oh, favorite
such a good movie.
So good.
Have you seen Drop Dead Gorgeous?
You gotta
what?
See it.
You guys gotta see it. It's so fucking good. Amy
it's
Adams so good. Is in
it's
it.
It's like her first big thing because she
first
was
big thing, yeah.
Chan Hassan Dinner Theater
yeah.
in the Twin Cities.
I did not know that. That's oh, amazing. Yeah? Oh my yeah. god, that's mm-hmm. amazing. Oh man, good movie. Anyway, okay, so you like talk to us. When did body image become a thing for you?
Well, that's not true. I was about to say I don't remember it ever not being a thing, but that's not true. I do remember it not being a thing. I remember, I don't know if this is going to come out before or after the group conversation.
Before.
So, teaser, spoiler alert, we talk about this idea of being too much as women.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember really specifically the moment that happened. And before that, feeling so much freedom. You know, I've always been a really intense personality. I've always been really focused. I've always been really driven. I was a really bossy kid.
That's so cute. I love little bossy kids.
My mom so didn't think it was so cute.
Yeah, same. I was a bossy fucking kid.
I know, but I wish I was that bossy now. I wish I hadn't
oh, I'm back.
Stripped myself
I
of
am
it.
Back.
I wish I had this
bitch is
I had
back.
When I was younger. I had balls when I was younger. I used to play football with boys.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's
like,
what
okay.
my mom gave me like the best advice when I was living in New York and I was feeling very small and like very sad. And because I like all of New York, I was depressed pretty much. Mm-hmm. And she would always say to me, you just need to find that eighth grade Susie. Like,
love
you need
it.
To get her. Where is my little girl who love told it. Me that she was going to be Dorothy in the first play she ever did, and then she was fucking Dorothy? Like, where is she? You need to love find it. Her. And now she's back.
I love it. Oh,
she's back.
Mom. That's so
I
great.
I know that's right. I'm back, bitches.
I am here, and I am staying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so great.
I think I'm back, too. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
My mom used to be like, you don't care what nobody's saying. You don't know. I know. I never cared.
Yeah. It's like, you're right. I don't.
Yeah. We have to learn to care. Right.
Right.
By the way in which society sort of beats us down all throughout our adolescence.
It beats us down.
And I think everyone is beat down.
Yeah.
But yeah. there's a special sort of beating for women.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been overweight, but I've never been like I've never been unhealthily overweight. Like I was I was a pudgy kid. I had like a little bit of extra weight, but the thing that I think kind of set things in motion for me is that I hit puberty really early.
That's so hard.
It was really hard.
Do you have siblings?
Boys, they're younger.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's just like
yeah. And I had a stepsister at the time who was flat as a board, dancer, blonde, so cute, so much attention. And I was 10, 11 years old with like boobs that were starting to form and a lot of flesh on my body that was like totally
healthy. How old were you when
fine.
You got your period?
11, I think.
Jesus.
11 or 12. Yeah. But I didn't look like the girls around me, and I felt that, and I didn't act like them either. I've always really wanted to do really well in school, and I was emotional, and I would cry if I didn't get a question right on a test, and I would, you know, I've always been kind of like I got harassed for it in
I cried a lot too growing up, and I would get made fun of.
Yeah, it's
and
hard.
And then I'd cry.
Yeah, it sucks. It really sucks. Like, I remember, like, the moment I've kind of, like, I wrote a little article about it. I remember I was in the bathtub with my stepsister, who was, you know, flat as a board. Her nickname was Skeletor. And, like, we were just, you know, being kids and, like, looking at our bodies. And I was like, oh, look at what my stomach can do. And she's like, oh, you have four sets of boobies. And I was like, And then I looked at her and I realized she didn't have anything. And it was all in innocence.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We were
both
like nine.
Yeah. Right.
But it was like the first time that I started to really pay attention to my body and wish that it looked different. Mm. And it didn't go, I mean, it didn't go away. Like I felt it, and I remember asking my mom for diet tips when I was like 9 or 10, and I didn't really, I would always try to go on a diet, and it would never really work. But when I was in 11th grade, like the end of 11th grade into 12th grade, I was like, you know what, here it is. I'm going to do it. I'm going to lose this extra, you know, 10 or 15 pounds, which if it had stopped there would have been fine. I mean, I didn't need to, but it wasn't going to kill me. But you know, I'm not one to really half-ass anything, and ended up pretty anorexic like a couple of years later.
At what age?
Like 17, 18. Yeah. And then it morphed into bulimia in college, and I went to treatment once in college. And then relapsed, or I don't even know if you can call it a relapse, because I like didn't really get
ever
better.
Stop. Yeah.
And then finally like went to treatment when I was out here maybe like 3.5-4 years ago, and was able to like get into recovery.
Out here?
Out here.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I got healed out here too.
Yeah. But I had all of the like side effects of anorexia, where like I wasn't getting my period and I was cold all the time and my hair was falling out.
Oh, I didn't know those were side effects.
And I had heart palpitations and it was not.
You were dying.
I was dying.
Your body was shutting down.
You know, dying. Yeah. Low key dying.
Yeah.
What made you go into treatment? I mean, to, you know, go through successfully and
well. The first time around, I it was the end of my freshman year of college, and anorexia and bulimia are really different beasts, and I'm not really an anorexic, and it was really hard for me to hold on to that withholding. And this is like a huge generalization, but anorexic personality types tend to be very perfectionistic and very controlled,
right?
And very good at withholding,
right?
And I have some of those elements of that in my personality, but I'm much more impulsive and emotionally up and down. And that is the personality types that go along with bulimia. And with bulimia tends to come like substance abuse and like sexual promiscuity and all of that kind of fun stuff. And I was such like an innocent kid growing up too, because I grew up Catholic. So it took me like coming into my own to be able to be my full bulimic self,
right?
Because like I didn't realize that I was sexual, and I didn't realize that I was impulsive, because I had like such a tight reins on myself. But it was like a good 10 years that I was like in this pretty destructive eating disordered cycle. And I was out here, and I had just ended a relationship that had become like pretty unhealthy. And I was hiding my eating disorder from him, and I was really abusing alcohol, and the two became really wrapped up in each other. And I got this job, and it was like a super tiny, small scale job, but it was a paid acting job. And I got to go to San Diego and stay in a hotel, and like, it was exactly what I came out here to do. You know, I was getting paid to be an actor. Yeah. And I don't remember what the script was called. I don't remember who my character was. I didn't enjoy a minute of it, because all I was doing the entire time was focusing on my eating disorder. And it was like at that point that I was like, nope, I gotta I got to commit to this. I mean, I should back up and say that, like, for the, like, 3 months leading up to that, I had been, like, drunk dialing eating disorder treatment centers.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So I was...
That's so interesting. Yeah. Your id was reaching out.
Oh yeah. I'd wake up and I'd see like all of my search bars would be like, how do I know if I have bulimia or like I have an eating disorder?
Because when you drink, like, I mean, you face your truth when you drink. I know I do.
Yeah. So I didn't really mean to go to treatment, but I had like called when I was drunk and I didn't realize it was treatment center. I thought it was just a therapist. And after my intake appointment, they're like, all right, you start Monday. So it'll be like Monday through Saturday. It's going to be like 7 hours a day. And I was like, whoa. You're not a therapist? And they're like, oh no, this is a treatment program. And then I left because I was like, fuck no, I'm not doing this. And then I had that experience on set where I couldn't be present. And then I decided to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of history. I just...
No, that's great.
Vomited out at you.
Ah!
Yeah, see what I did there? Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
Comedy.
Uh-huh. I just love when women... I love when women go through things and you can't tell. You can't see the scars. You would never know. Because that was like you said, 10 years, that's a decade of your life.
Yeah.
That was very detrimental.
Yeah.
You were near death and you can't...
And then so that was the first time was when you drunk called.
That was the second time.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. The first time was after my freshman year of college and the pain of like trying to maintain anorexia was so bad that, and I love school. I'm a total nerd. I've always loved school. I've always been really good at it. I'm good at like completing tasks. I loved it. And I wanted to drop out because I just couldn't bear it. I couldn't bear it. So I got some help and it helped like alleviate the symptoms a little bit for a little while. Like things weren't so horrible all the time. Like I almost went into like what I would call a remission for like maybe 6 months to a year. But I didn't develop the tools needed to really like be a person who feels their feelings,
right?
You know,
right?
Yeah.
And then so then you drunk dialed, you went, it was not a therapist, and you left, but then you came back.
Then I came back. Yeah.
How long did it take you to come back?
I kept calling and being
drunkenly,
like, sometimes yeah, like the woman, I can't even remember her name, but like she would know who I was when I'd be called. She's like, okay, hi again, yep. And I'd be like, well, tell me like more. Yeah. Tell me like a little bit more about the program. Or
right.
If I started this day, how would that be? And then I'd be like, never mind. I'm not ready.
Right.
Which I'm sure happens.
I'm sure all the time.
Yeah.
I think that happens with therapy in general.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Lots of cold feet. I mean, it's hard. It's a hard thing to confront.
Yeah. Stop your life and go live a life that they prescribe to you.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And how long were you at the center then?
I did like it. What it was called was partial hospitalization program. So that's a PHP program. So I did that probably for like 2 months, and then they sort of weaned me out of it. So I would do like half days, or then I'd go like 3 days a week. So all in all, it was probably about 4 months.
And what does that entail?
What
are you doing with your time when you're there?
Well, the biggest thing for me that I needed was I didn't know how to eat at all. I had no idea how to do it. I didn't know portions. I didn't have any hunger sensors left, essentially. Like my body didn't know what it was supposed to do. And I certainly couldn't trust myself to like regulate on my own or to like follow any sort of meal plan. So I really needed intensive like watch eyes on me all the time. So like the most important part for me, and it's different for everybody, but for me is like we would eat two meals and a snack together every day. And just that structure alone was huge for me. So we'd go and we'd do individual therapy. We'd do family therapy. We'd do a bunch of different types of group therapy. I worked with nutrition counselors, psychiatrists, basically like 5 or 6 different like group therapy. It's like therapy all day for 4 months. Anyway, you know, it's like actually kind of nice.
That sounds like a dream. Yeah. That sounds like a dream.
It's kind of distracting you off your
structure.
That's good.
Yeah, it's nice, good structure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all anybody needs, a little structure in their life. You know?
It does a lot. Yeah. It does a lot. When you're on your own, left to your own devices, you can really, or I should say I can really normalize really weird behavior.
But anybody can meditate on the wrong
thing.
Oh,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of why I like realized that I should probably get a roommate.
Yeah.
Because I was like, if I ever want to
like that too.
If I ever want to like have a relationship with someone where we live together, I should probably learn how to live with someone.
Left to our own devices.
I was living on my own for like 10 years in the valley. I said, wait, I need something else. That person.
Yeah.
But I went through hell since December. I'm on my third one, but that's what turned me around.
Yeah.
Appreciate myself, and I'm ready to be by myself. Yeah. I just couldn't do a roommate either or, but.
Yeah.
I needed it. Don't you think, you needed that experience to know who you are today, really the person that you are deep inside? Like you said, you liked school, but then you gave it up for your disorder.
Yeah.
I mean, there were certain things that, you know, you liked about yourself, but you kind of got away from those things. And
right. It's an interesting question. Like it's been a third of my life, so it's really hard for me to imagine what it would have looked like if it wasn't part of me. And it's really inspired a lot of my creative work. So it feels very much a part of who I am. But on the other hand, that's like 10 years where 90% of my brain power was focused on what I was putting in and taking out of my body. And that just feels like such a waste.
But you know what?
Yeah.
It made you so much more valuable though to others because you got help.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you went and got help.
Well, her show Binge is about, getting like having an eating. It's not just about having an eating disorder. It's about the process of getting help.
Yeah.
And that's valuable.
Yeah.
That's so valuable. That's what it's about to other women. That's what she's like, champion other women. You can't even champion other women if you have no value from your own work on yourself. You have to work on yourself.
Right? Well, yeah, we all have our version of
whatever
that is. Yeah, exactly.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad to have been addicted like to alcohol and everything.
Yeah.
The 2 DUIs and all that. I would never change it.
How long have you been sober?
I've been sober since 2004 for a while.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. That's a huge deal.
But I started drinking like at young age.
Yeah.
Like I used to go to the grocery store and at like 10 and me and my friend would get like a 6-pack.
Yep.
Buggy and take it back to the back of the bathroom and she drink 3 and I drink 3 with 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
And didn't know. My mom said that she came home at 4 and me and my brother used to climb up to the bar and was drinking 6-packs, open another one, take a sip, So I've been drinking for a while. So
yeah. I drank at a very young age too.
Yeah.
But the thing about my drinking was that my parents owned my dad still does, but they owned a beer and wine wholesalership. So they, they actually raised me more in like the European style of
like drinking wine with dinner.
I drank wine at dinner at like 16 with my parents, you know, and I would have one glass and like, you know, and I definitely like have had like very drunk experiences and like, it's very, I black out very easily because I just black out in life. Mm-hmm. Like my brain just turns off when things happen.
I wish mine did sometimes.
I will go on a date and have like split a bottle of wine and then have a whiskey and then not remember the end of the evening.
You don't have to answer this. Are you on depression or anxiety meds?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not.
I was going to say I didn't start blacking out until I started.
That makes sense.
Meds.
Yeah. I mean, no, it's so bizarre how easy it is for me. And like, you know, that's why whenever people are like, she needs to learn how to handle her liquor about different people blacking out. I'm like, actually, you kind of have no idea. Yeah. Like, and it hits me randomly
sometimes. Like how you metabolize maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's that. And I think like the way that I eat is like part of it. Cause I eat very small amounts throughout the day.
Yeah.
So like, I don't have like a huge meal and then drink, you know, like I'll just have like,
and you're tiny too.
Yeah.
Tiny.
Small
I'm working on it. I'm trying to like,
and I don't think you just have an addiction. I think some people just have.
Oh no. Yeah. I don't have an
addicted.
Yeah. I don't drink all of January.
With food, you know? She was using it to, and with alcohol, I was using it for pain.
Yeah.
Like pain medicine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, I just use pot for that.
Well, something I've learned is that, like, because my boyfriend's an alcoholic, sober. And something I've learned is because I, in the worst part of my bulimia, I was abusing alcohol like crazy. I was blacking out all the time. It was really tied up. But there's a difference between abusing alcohol and being dependent on alcohol. And I think it's, I'm not a doctor.
I think it's a difference.
But it's like a different chemical thing. Mm-hmm. Like with my boyfriend, he can't drink. He just can't. He can't. It does something different to his brain than it does to mine. And I'm sure you understand.
Like, with me, I think I was more dependent on it. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't go to sleep without drink. Every night. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would drink like a half gallon of wine. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's, and I feel more, and I looked at it too. First, I used to look at myself like, oh, that's bad. Two DUIs. Oh, alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I used to think people that didn't have that addiction was better than me. I was like, oh, look at them. They don't drink. They don't smoke.
Yeah.
They don't even cuss. Oh, my gosh. You're so much better.
They do some other shit that you have no idea about. Exactly. Have their own demons.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's got their shit.
You can't see. Yes.
Yeah.
It might be all up in here.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
But exactly. And that's what I thought. And,
So
I'm like, I feel more valuable now that I have been through that.
And you've got, 13 years of sobriety and strength to offer people who might be struggling? I mean, that's incredible.
I love it. I love coming out the other end. I just want to come out the other end because then as women, we can help each other. Like you said, I won't have to judge somebody. Like, look at her. She's just all drunk. I know I wouldn't do that. Because who am I? Who?
Exactly.
I ain't got no room to judge.
You know that.
Exactly.
That there's pain in that.
Yeah, it's pain.
Yeah.
People don't realize, man. It used to take my pain away.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, and it's not even, I mean, you're just putting it in a different place.
Yes.
Yeah,
you're just putting it.
But, I mean, I like not drinking.
You know, me too.
I love going out and not drinking. It's so fun. Yeah. I do that. I think that's great. I mean, I don't drink all of January.
I'm amazed that I can do it because I used to be like, I don't, if you bought me a drink, I was like that.
Well, you just decide.
Yeah.
You know, with those things, you just make a decision somewhere along the way.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's different for everyone. Did you go to rehab or do the steps or anything?
I didn't go to rehab. My thing was faith, my spiritual faith, because my mom told me I was an alcoholic, like when I was in college.
She knew,
and she was like, "You're an alcoholic just like your dad." And it's just
there's a genetic component.
Oh, it's hereditary.
Yeah,
it went through me like, what the fuck? You know, why would you call? You know, it was like so. And I was driving. I was like, get out of my car. I mean, that's how much it hurt me.
Yeah.
I was like, want to put her out on the highway because I wasn't ready to confront it. And then another friend, her husband was telling me, she said, he said, Trace, you can't drink like that every day. You'll live. I was like, shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What? I'm drinking because I'm drinking socially.
Well, I also find that whenever someone that you care about tells you something about yourself and you react negatively and aggressively.
It's probably true.
You need to listen.
So I just couldn't receive it until I think I received it. Oh, this girl, I came out here and this girl I stayed with for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
She was trying to drink like me, you know, because I can drink. I'm functional. My whole family functional.
Yeah.
But she couldn't at night. She was drinking. She was getting all drunk and she was trying to smoke cigarettes. Like, I could smoke 2 cigarettes and drink my wine. She was like smoking back to back. And she was like, look at you. You're just an alcoholic and you can't stop drinking. She caught me and I was already drunk and kidding. And I was saying, I don't know. Tears was just running down my eyes. And I was like, well, I just felt vulnerable because I was exposed, you know. And I was living with her. She saw me drink every night. That's when I just kind of prayed. I said, I can't do it by myself. You know, you're going to have to help me. I can't. If I could stop, I'd do it.
Did you stop cold turkey?
I think the taste got taken away from me because I just literally remember praying. And then my friend, my roommate that came out here with me, we were staying in a hostel. And she's like, you don't remember when you stopped drinking and smoking? I was like, no. She said, you were smoking a cigarette out the window. And you said, I'm tired of this shit. And you threw the cigarette out.
That's amazing.
And you never smoked a drink again.
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
I did that with cigarettes. It was like last December, and I had said that I wasn't going to smoke them anymore after my parents finally got divorced, because like I started doing it again once they were going through their divorce. And then I remember like I was out front of the bar that I work at, and I was smoking a cigarette, and I was just like, this tastes disgusting. No,
never again. Your mind up. Yeah.
Never again. Mm-hmm. And I haven't. I haven't. I've had like maybe a drag or two of someone's, but I've never had a cigarette again, and yes, I won't
I
ever.
I had That's like awesome. The sip on your birthday too, the little champagne.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like orange juice, but mm-hmm. it was almost, I'm like, I'm good. I'm healed.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because like, I think you do make up your mind. Like
you do.
You kind of got sick and tired. It's just something about it.
Like yeah, I just it, I was just like.
And it's just what? Something about us. Like, mm-hmm.
why?
Tired.
What am I doing?
I think I was tired of it ruining my life. You know, I heard the alcoholic slurs and all that, but you put it away.
Yeah.
And after a while, I think that last one, for some reason, affected me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, I'm tired of running. Ain't nowhere else to run. I'm tired.
Did mm-hmm. you?
Two DUIs.
Huh? Yeah.
And then, you know, still being called alcoholic, I'm like, yeah. I just want to rest. You yeah. know?
Did you, after the treatment center, did you quit cold turkey too? Or did it take
quit drinking?
No, quit.
Like purging?
Purging, yeah.
No. No. I like to call them slip up. It's interesting, eating disorders versus like alcoholism addictions. Or drug addictions, because you can live the rest of your life without having another drink.
Right.
But you can't live yeah. your life without having another bite of food.
I couldn't imagine.
So I, you know, I have been what I like to call symptom free. I actually don't even know the last time that I used my symptoms, but like, it wasn't like I checked myself in and was cured or like
right,
got
course.
Out and never
yeah.
had a slip up.
You had a slip up and then what would you do?
Well, I stayed in, I'm still in therapy, but I stayed in pretty intensive therapy for the next couple of years. But I think the biggest thing in addition to like learning how to eat again was learning how to sit with discomfort, because I couldn't tolerate that when I was in my eating disorder. If I was uncomfortable, I fixed it. I found a way to fix it.
Right.
And if I binged and I ate all this food, I would have to say, no, you're uncomfortable and that's okay.
Yeah, life. There's parts of life where you're uncomfortable.
And
yeah,
in a couple of hours, you're not going to feel like this anymore.
Right.
But you don't get to hurt yourself for like a quick fix.
Because we all kind of feel like that. Like I eat too much, big piece.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't feel good.
Like,
no, it hurts.
It doesn't feel good. Yeah,
that's why I eat the way that I eat. Yeah. I can't. I never have made myself puke. But I can. I like if I eat too much, I will. Puke by yeah, act like
yeah
it'll just happen because I just get sick, so like that's why I eat yeah. the way that I eat, because I know that like if I eat too much in one sitting I will like
small
puke.
Portions I think I like to have that full feeling, that's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't I feel sick when I puke
from the south,
full
and
puke.
So
yeah,
that's not awesome. Bad we associate it with love, right?
Yeah it's true.
Or like comfort.
It's true. It's mm-hmm. comfort. Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel guilty about it. It's like, why did I eat
I know
so much? And
But it doesn't say anything about your value as a person.
Definitely.
That's the thing that I think is so difficult.
See, look at you. Look at you helping me now. I ain't even had no eating disorder helping me.
It's like we're, it's like it's food, right? I'm choosing
it's
to
beautiful,
put it in my mouth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I should be able to control this.
Yeah.
But it's so much bigger than that. When you put a piece of food in your mouth, it changes your brain in such a way that your anxiety decreases.
Yeah.
That's a physiological effect that you get addicted to.
Yeah.
If you feel anxious, you eat, you feel better.
Yeah.
It happens. So to say that I'm a bad person for eating, you know, emotionally eating about this or eating too much, mm-hmm. or it's we tie it because of our obsession with thinness and because diets are such big business mm-hmm. in this country.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Is we say that we should be able to fix that or
it's
stop
on TV 24/7/12.
Yeah.
Every kind of diet.
It's big business. It's like, and it's big business because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right.
You need
exactly.
the next diet.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
If it worked, people would do the diet
and
they change their weight and they wouldn't need to spend money anymore.
Yep. It's very true.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need Weight Watchers. It's every day, all day. I just thought about it. It's a weight
constantly.
Weight
oh my God. Yeah. And billboards and and the conversation and especially living in LA, it's like, you know, well, what do you eat? What do you do to work out? You know, which is great. Like that's great. Like I enjoy having those conversations. Yeah. Like I enjoy health.
Yeah.
This is like a new thing for me. Like in the past year, I've become what I consider for myself to be a very healthy version of who I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love it. And I love talking about it,
sure.
but at the same time, it's like, it's not the only thing
the
that I talk about.
You can't get obsessed, you know?
Yeah, there's a line. There's a line.
Yeah, there's other parts of my life besides just that, you know?
Yeah.
But I can see how it can become a thing. I mean, I was thinking about this with work, you know, like this producing our live show, like I woke up and I promised myself that I was going to go to Runyon, and I like ended up having to take a phone call with a woman to talk about advertising for it. And I ended up having to answer a couple emails and blah, blah, blah. And then, but I still made myself go to Runyon because I like promised myself that I was going to give myself that gift. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, this is how people become addicted to work, mm-hmm. because you just have to, and more mm-hmm. work makes more work. And it's mm-hmm. like, it's like that with anything. Like,
yeah.
this is how people become addicted to anything. Yeah. Is that like, yeah. the more you do it, the more you need it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
Yeah. I guess I just always like to say, like, if you're listening to this and you're worried that your habits are not normal, they probably are not normal, and that you don't have to suffer alone, and that you don't have to struggle alone, and that there are a lot of resources. The National Eating Disorder Association has a really amazing helpline and 24-hour chat service. There are tons of great resources online. And if you reach out to me on social media, I'll send them to you. But it gets, it, you can change your brain and you can change your reality. You don't have to be consumed by this.
What does feminism mean to you?
I'm gonna piggyback off our theme of too muchness, this idea that women often feel like they're too much. And I know that's where my mental health issues have stemmed from, is this idea of being too much and wanting to be less. I would like for all women to be proud of their too muchness.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna say.
That's what it means to me today.
Yes. Yes, queen.
Today.
Yeah. That's great.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Act Like a Girl podcast. It's been Susie Dunn.
And Tracy Walker.
And we were here with
Angela Gunner.
And as always, please like us on Facebook
and Twitter
and Instagram.
And email actlikeagirl.tv@gmail.com.
Yes, and yes. And check out our website, actlikeagirl.tv. There's the Get Involved page up on the upper right corner. I always reply.
Stay involved.
Please reach out. Yep, stay involved. Get active.
Yes, and stay tuned.
Bye, guys.
Bye.